All right, we'll be in Matthew chapter 24. As we've been looking at this study of a heart matter, we've covered what it means to have a new heart. We've covered how you can get a new heart. We've understood the purpose of a new heart. And now we really get to the heart matter of this subject. The reason why the Lord really brought us here, I believe. We're getting into some areas that probably we all need to wear steel toes to church on Wednesday night, even myself, because we're starting to look at our cold hearts. As Christians, we have a new heart. God has already given us a transplant. He's given us that new heart. But as Christians, we need to diagnose the condition of our hearts constantly. Because if we're not careful, our heart can become cold. And so in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at this subject within a heart matter, our cold hearts. And we begin tonight with the warning signs in Matthew 24. Look with me in one verse, Matthew 24 and verse 12. Of course, these are the words of Jesus. They're read in my Bible. In Matthew 24 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Oh my. What's the cause of it? Iniquity abounding. If you look in our world today, is iniquity abounding? Is sin abounding? It's everywhere. If we looked in our communities and our neighborhoods, is sin abounding? Oh yes. What if we looked in our homes? What if we looked in our hearts? If we looked in our families, is sin abounding? If it is, Jesus says it's going to wax cold. So what are the warning signs? This diagnosis is for Christians. And it's implying that at one time our hearts were not cold. On the contrary, they were on fire for the Lord and for the things of God. So let me define for you what a cold heart is. A cold heart toward God is when things of God that once encouraged and sparked our hearts now leaves our heart flatlined. We feel nothing in particular about the things of God. That's a cold heart. So as we begin to diagnose our hearts here tonight, we need to understand the subject of a cold heart. Every one of us is susceptible to this. Each of us have even experienced it probably from time to time in our Christian life. And if we leave a cold heart unattended, if we allow the warning signs to be ignored, and we continue to let it fester like a sore, it's going to continue to become larger and larger of a problem. A cold heart does give us some warning signs, though, if we're alert enough to listen to them and watch for them. But too often, the signs are ignored. They begin subtle, easily ignored, and then you just become blatantly ignoring the signs. And if they're ignored, the arrival in our hearts of the greatest spiritual danger facing us this day in this world is a cold heart towards the things of God and towards God. I went to Bible college in the early 90s. As a married man, most of the students at the school at that time were married. There were a few single people there. School was just 4 years old when I went. And I can look back, the closeness that we had as a group of married couples, and we would fellowship together and encourage one another and study together, and our wives became great friends. Some were still great friends to this day. But as I look back at those 4 years on campus and all the faces and all the families and all the friends, very few are still in the ministry. Very few. And the ones that are in the ministry still have gone back on some of their standards, changed and compromised some of their standards, and are now serving in churches that we would not say that's really where God wants you. What happened? Cold. The warning signs of a cold heart were ignored and ignored and ignored. The results of a cold heart left unchecked will be a damaged testimony. It will damage your testimony. It will become a shipwrecked spiritual life. Someone has said it would become a cold heart left unchecked will be a shipwrecked spiritual life that is run aground on the joyless shores of worldliness, discontent, and dissatisfaction. That's where a cold heart will take you. So in Matthew 24 and verse 12, Jesus identifies what's going to happen if you allow iniquity to abound in your life. This heart condition is very dangerous, not only to us, but those around us. It doesn't just affect us individually if we have a cold heart and we allow it to go unchecked. It affects others if we're a parent and we allow a cold heart to go unchecked. It will not be long before this cold heart affects the children, those in the home, and those that communicate with you on a daily basis. They'll notice you've stopped reading your Bible. They'll notice you don't pray like you used to. They'll notice you have no desire to go to church anymore. And what happens, especially to young children in the home and teenagers in the home, it affects them too. And they no longer are in church. The importance of serving God and living for God is not as important. And you know where that will lead to is iniquity abounding in their lives. If a child allows a cold heart to go unchecked, they will become rebellious in the home. They'll become rebellious at school. And the things of God will matter very little to them. You want to go to summer camp this year? No. You want to go to Arise this year? No. You want to go to this youth activity they're having at the church? Not really. The things of God have slowly become not the main thing in their lives anymore. If a supervisor or a manager allows a cold heart to go unchecked, it will not be long before employees start to see a difference in their manager and his attitude or her attitude and their conversations and their work ethic. If an employee allows a cold heart to go unchecked, it will affect their peers at work, the ones that have come to them and say, "Hey, will you pray for me about this thing?" If you allow a cold heart to continue to grow unchecked in you, then they're going to come to you and go, "Oh yeah, whatever." It's going to affect others. So how can we arm ourselves with the knowledge of the warning signs leading to a cold heart? If we stay alert to them, we can defeat them before they chill our heart to the point of no return. So there are four marks of a growing cold heart. These are important to watch for in your spiritual life. The first mark of a growing cold heart is a lack of spiritual commitment or spiritual engagement. You're becoming unmoved by your Bible reading. Oh, I got to read my Bible again. Oh, I came to all those names. Why did God preserve those names? Well, they're in there for a purpose. There's some pretty exciting things in those genealogies if we really take time and notice. You find yourself going through the motions day after day, week after week. Oh, it's time to go to church again. You know, why isn't the church house full tonight? Things have taken place in a person's life that the priorities have shifted. The gospel has sort of lost its excitement to you. Remember when you couldn't wait to tell someone about what Jesus has done for you? How long has it been? Why are we no longer giving out tracts, inviting people to church, telling people about the love of Christ? Somebody told us. Somebody invited us. Somebody gave us a gospel tract. There's no real repentance. When we talk about this lack of spiritual engagement or commitment, one of the signs is there's no real repentance. Oh yeah, you know that you have sinned. But do you realize when we sin, let's make it personal, when I sin, when you sin, you realize that we're sinning against God, a holy, divine God that saved us, that loved us when we were unlovely and still loves us while we're unlovely. And when we sin against Him, we are saying, yeah, well, you'll just forgive me anyway. And we don't really repent, you know, going this way and repenting from that sin, and you turn back this way and just ignore it and keep going the opposite way. Real repentance. Your prayer life probably was once one of the most exciting times in your daily ritual of living for the Lord. And how much time is given to prayer today in your life and in your home? I told you, we need steel-toed shoes. Another sign of this lack of spiritual engagement or commitment is you're generally bored with the things of God. Oh, somebody got to get baptized. That's going to add another 20 minutes to the service. Do you understand what just happened? Someone's life was just transformed. They got a heart transplant. And now they want to say, hey, I want to follow the Lord in baptism, knowing that it doesn't do anything to add to their salvation, but they're letting everybody that's here say, rejoice with me. Oh, it's going to be late to the lunch crowd. There are going to be a lot of people ahead of us today. Revival Sunday, had one day revival. My, the Lawsons just stirred my heart. Sunday night service was spectacular. I think the Lawsons sang 8 different songs. And then Brother Terry got up and preached from 1 Corinthians. Amazing, amazing night. How many missed it? How many missed the Spirit of God moving? We had some visitors. We had a whole row of visitors that night. But we had a whole lot of church members not here too. One of the signs, one of the marks of a growing cold heart is a lack of spiritual commitment and engagement. The second mark is an internal shift. An internal shift toward negativity. Criticism is right in the forefront of our mouths. Irritability sets in. angry outburst. I'm a pretty calm guy. It takes a lot to rile me up. But lately I've been finding myself, the anger just sort of leaps out of me. Guess what that shows? A warning sign of a cold heart approaching. And we've seen so much in the news and in the media that has flooded us that we're sort of numb to amazing things that are happening. Or horrible, despicable things that are happening. We're just sort of numb to it. We grow internally so negative, so critical. It's a dangerous place. It's a hard one to come back from. A third mark of a growing cold heart is a move towards self-centeredness and a fading compassion for others. I sent out a small call multiplier to about 13, 14, 15 people today, this afternoon, to pray for Miss Frances. And then if you had time, if you'd reach out to her and just encourage her, because she was heartbroken today when she heard that news. I don't know who called or who didn't call. That's when you and God. But that was an opportunity to not be self-centered. How many of us have talked to Miss Mary Fuller, or at least Miss her daughter Gina, to find out how she's doing? Or maybe you didn't know. She didn't want us to announce it to the church through a broad text to everyone. This growing move towards self-centeredness, finding yourself just absorbed with you and your situation and all that's going on in your life and not too worried about anybody else. That's a mark of a growing cold heart. Are we supposed to have compassion on others? Jude 22, still in the Bible, and some have compassion, making a difference. And when we have no compassion for the hurting and for the suffering and for people in general, it's a sign of a growing cold heart. The last mark of a growing cold heart is compromise. Each of these sort of can be by itself, or they can be attached and grow upon one another, build upon one another. This last one, you've sort of ignored the warning signs for a bit. And now you're compromising your standards. You're compromising your view of morality. And you're hiding sin. You may begin with just hiding little sins, thinking no one will know. God's always going to know. Over time, these become more regular and they grow and grow, and the consequences are approaching. Be careful with compromising sin. None of these, though, singularly may be an indicator of a cold heart, but there is a pattern of a few of them growing. You may be experiencing this growing cold heart within you. These marks of a growing cold heart do not pop out of nowhere. They are slowly festering internally and growing like a diseased cell of your body, and if left unchecked, it's going to continue to grow and spread. These marks of a growing cold heart are all associated with a moving away from the three most important areas of our walk with Jesus. There's nothing astounding here. these three things that we should be doing and we know we should be doing. But we slowly just let them slip away. Spending time with God and His Word every day. Mary Sidney leaves the house about 5:10, 5:15 every morning. And for the next hour, I'm in my Bible. That's my special time. It's quiet in the house. And I can just allow the Lord to speak to me through His Word. Are the days I miss? Yes. Are the days I try to catch back up? Yes. I don't follow the church's Bible reading schedule. I have my own. And I have one that's worked for me, so I continue it for me. So if we start experiencing a growing cold heart, then we can pretty much guarantee that we have either stopped reading our Bible daily, we are not dedicating time to pray for others, and we have slipped on our faithful attendance to the house of God and serving God. If we stop doing these things, a cold heart's coming. So let's talk about them real quickly. A daily Bible time. Well, of course, we know the first warning sign that our hearts are growing spiritually cold is because we don't want to spend time in God's Word. Or we spend time in it and we look at it as like, I'm just not getting anything. Well, stop reading to do a check mark in your box. And spend some time in the Word of God. I get in the habit sometimes, I don't have a checklist. I get into a passage of Scripture. I've been in 1 Chronicles now for weeks. And I'm in 1 Chronicles and I'm studying and looking and understanding and what God's showing me. And sometimes I get three verses. It's like, I don't get it. So I go back and read those three verses again. And I don't get it. And I go back and read it and read it. Sometimes I'm reading it 2 or 3 days. I was like, Lord, what is here? What is this in the Word of God for? Yes, we should read our Bible through in a year if we can. But if we're only doing it to check a box and get a pat on the back, that's the wrong reason. If you can read one verse and God shows you something and it rejoices in your heart, praise God. That's what Bible reading and study is all about. Don't tell Pastor I said that you didn't have to read your Bible all the way through in a year. That's not what I said. I read my Bible through every year, or just about every year. But sometimes I spend a lot of time in one portion of Scripture just trying to understand what it's there for. Pastor Ennis and I used to sit in his office for hours discussing a passage of Scripture. What does this mean? Pastor, what do you think this means? And he asked me what I think it means. I don't know. Let's go to God and ask Him what it means. And we spend time together in the Word of God. It's precious time, preacher. I look back at those days. I love those days. Well, we just spent time in God's Word. The busyness of the ministry was going on, but the most important thing was understanding God's Word. Daily Bible time. Not a hit and miss, not a rush through to check off something. If we neglect time in God's Word, it's going to lead to multiple missed days in God's Word, and then we have a problem. That cold heart is getting colder. I know everybody's busy. Not everybody gets up at 4:30 like we do. But most everybody doesn't go to bed at 8:30 like we do either. We go to bed before the chickens go to bed, I think. But I know at 4:30, let's go. I'm ready. Not that cheery. But I know people say, I'm too busy to read my Bible every day. I have a lot of responsibilities in my home and at my work and my other obligations. Let's not go there. Because we know it's not true. It's just an excuse. Let me ask you something. Do we regularly go throughout our days in our busy, busy life and schedule and never stop to eat? Oh no, we're going to find time to eat. I can't even button my jacket. I don't have that problem. I like to eat. Do we regularly go days with not eating because of our busyness? No. We find the time. Brother Job has something to say about this. Job 23, I don't have it on the screen, but Job 23:12 says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed," that word esteem means treasured, "I have esteemed or treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job said, "I'll just skip food so I can have his words." Oh my. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not," what is it? "Live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." This book is the most important thing for a Christian's life. If we're not in it, we're going to develop a cold heart. So the first indication that a cold heart is starting is because we're neglecting this precious book. Secondly is a dedicated prayer time. A second warning sign that our hearts are growing spiritually cold is our prayer life used to be more than it is today. Prayer is God's gift of communication to Him and from Him. Do you realize that God wants to hear from us? That boggles my mind. The God that created everything that is in existence, the one that saved us, went to the old rugged cross, the Holy Spirit that withdraws within us and draws us to Christ and convicts us and seals us, protects us. They want to hear from us. Why? Why would God want to hear from me? Because He loves us. And He cares about us. And He cares about our cares. But you know, we get in this routine, and it's really just a rut, and we're just praying for us, for me. That's not what prayer, that's not the only thing prayer is about. God already knows your needs. What about others? I miss Frances. Her sister's name was Jackie. What about Miss Mary Fuller? What about Miss Brenda? The new church family that's been coming. His name's Seth and his family. He had a tumor in his stomach, in his intestines. He's been out of work for over a month, almost 6 weeks or 5 weeks now. And I talked to him yesterday. He's like, "We can't wait to get back to church." Oh my, we should be praying for others more. Not just, "Lord, I got this bill." He knows. "Lord, I got this health problem." He knows. How about, "Lord, I got this cold heart. Will you help me fix it? Will you show me what I need to do?" I know prayer's hard. One of my favorite places to pray, I don't close my eyes when I'm this place, but when I'm driving down the road. It's one of my favorite places to pray. Because God brings people in my mind constantly as I'm driving. I go past a neighborhood or I go past a street that goes to somebody's house, and He brings people to my mind. It's a great place to pray for people. But don't close your eyes. It's spiritual warfare. You're a fighting against the powers of this earth and this air that don't want you to communicate to God. Because they know that's where you get your strength. That's where you get your help. That's where you get your wisdom. And they try with all their might to keep you from praying. And God is down there, up there. Are they going to pray to me today? Or are they going to do it in their own power again? Oh, I'd like to take care of this situation in their life, but I'd really like them to ask me to come in and help with that situation in their life. Prayer should be a priority and a pleasure in a Christian's life. When it's not, a cold heart is growing. Prayer is the lifeblood of the Christian. Let's move quickly on to the next. Faithfulness to church and serving God in church. Tomorrow I begin putting together the task list for Easter. Last year it took almost 50 people in our church to help me run the Easter brunch, the Easter egg hunt. And I'm going to start reaching out to some of those same people. Are they going to be willing to serve the Lord again in these areas? Our church is growing. Not only is our church growing, the Spanish church is getting ready to blossom and grow. And so every event we have is not just for the English church, it's for the Spanish church too, because we're one church. And it's going to be an exciting thing when we've got people from different nationalities and cultures together with us, and we're praising God for what He is doing in our midst. This warning of a sign of a cold heart is happening if our attitude towards faithfulness to church is becoming more and more misses. For the healthy Christian, the Lord's Day and the midweek service should be the high points of our week. We get to get away from the world for a little while. I understand. I've been up since 4:30. I'm tired too. But I love opening this book and understanding what God has for us and hearing the preaching of the Word of God. For the healthy Christian, we should desire to be in church. If we don't desire it, warning sign. We should anticipate and be expecting and preparing for what we're going to hear. Who we're going to see. Are there any visitors today? Is someone going to get saved? Our church services at times when our family gathers together to worship and hear from God, we have an opportunity to not only worship, but we have an opportunity to serve. Now, I'm not going to come to anyone in the service and ask you to come and pray for somebody at the altar. But if you see someone at the altar and they're weeping and they're praying and no one's with them, lady with lady, men with men, I encourage you to go and pray with those individuals. You don't have to get down and find out what they're praying about. Just stand over them and just ask the Lord to help them with whatever situation's going on in their life. Love them. Have compassion for others. We can easily prioritize worldly things over the things of God. Driving into town tonight, I'm not picking on a place of business, but It's for young people, and it was packed tonight. Packed. Parking lot was loaded. It's not a church. The Lord has not got the first place in that family if they used to come to church. Now, sports and entertainment and activities have become the priority. Careful. Cold hearts are soon developing. If we can be absent from the services of our church without it bothering us too much, then we already have a cold heart. But a cold heart, it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to continue. It doesn't have to become a block of ice. God has given us necessary things to prevent such a condition or reverse that condition. But it all begins with being alert to the warning signs that He's given us. Let me close with three verses. They'll be on the screen one at a time. Let me close with some hope for those hearts that are growing frigid. Zephaniah 3:17. We don't hear a lot of preaching out of Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing." Even when we have a cold heart, He's rejoicing over us because He knows there's still hope. There's still time for us to reverse it. So He is mighty in the midst of us, and He's able to help us reverse a cold heart. He will rejoice over us with joy, and He will rest in His love with us. He wants us to get the victory. Psalm 86 and verse 15. "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." I know we're not supposed to pray for patience, but we can pray for long-suffering. But you know who's already been long-suffering towards us? God. Time after time after time, He is patient, and He's at work. And lastly, Philippians 1:6. "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you," has it begun a good work in you? Have you had a heart transplant? Do you have a new heart? Then He's begun a good work in you. And He will perform it until Jesus comes back for us. Ooh, that means He's still working on me. I used a little kid's song, something about that. He's still working on me. Remember that? He isn't finished with us. So let's lean on Him. Say, "Lord, I got a cold heart. I see the warning signs. Help me to open my Bible again. Help me to pray for others again. Help me to share the love of Christ with others again." May the Lord help us to watch diligently for the warning signs of a cold heart, because it's very easy to allow it to go ignored. And that is not what God wants. So as we diagnose tonight the conditions of our heart, do some self-reflection. Do you have some warning signs? Are the bells going off? You know what to do then. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm guilty. and I need your help. Cleanse this cold heart. Help me to be concerned, to care for others, to share the love of Christ with others, to love, to come to church and to read your word and to have compassion for others, to serve you with a joyful heart. Get rid of the negativity and the complaining and critical spirit. Do a new work in me. Continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you bless your church and that you would help it as well. All those that are here tonight and those that will hear it through social media and are watching even now, I pray, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and that you would convict and give them the wisdom to see the warning signs of a cold heart and to turn back to you. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. One day we'll be able to say that with such a pure heart. You will really know we love you. And we owe you so much. And we can never repay what you have done for us. But Lord, help us try. Help us try. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.